No audio. No audio. Let me see. Why there is no audio? Let me see. Computer. Check. Are you able to hear now? Okay, all right. Now let us start now. Viveka Chudamani, Shloka 486. Namo Namaste Gurave Mahatmane Vimukta Sangaya Saduttamaya Nityadvayananda Rasaswarupine Bhumne sada paradayam budatmane. So now the Sishya, he feels, I am enjoying this vision of Aham Satyam and Jagan Mithya. The whole credit goes to the teacher. There is no doubt about it. So Sishya has done sufficient punyam and sadhana to be a fit receptacle, a good recipient for this knowledge. But a receptacle has been filled with wisdom by whom? Only by the Guru. So that is most important, because the receptacle cannot by itself be filled. It has to be filled by the Guru only. So the receptacle has been filled by the Guru. And so the Sishya is thankful to the Guru. Sishya is eternally indebted to the Guru. Because how can he compensate for that, the wisdom that he has got? What he has got is infinite Brahman. It is not ordinary thing. It is moksha. Therefore, the price he has to pay also should be infinite. The internet is acting up a little weird today. So it is impossible for me to repay. So I can only offer my repeated namaskarams to the Guru. So he says, Namo Namaha. Namo Namaha. And the Namo Namaha Gurave. Gurave, he is asking to the Guru. Even namaskara has to be infinite only, because there is no point in saying that I will do namaskara once or twice for what you have given me. Even one namaskara is difficult for a lot of people. Now for this Sishya to do repeated namaskara to the Guru, that is something which is extremely important for the Sishya, because that is how his indebtedness has to be taken care by doing namaskaram to the Guru. So I verbally offer my namaskarams, Namo Namaha. I verbally offer my namaskaram to you. Let me see why I am not able to see certain things. Yeah, that is the reason, I guess. Yeah. I verbally offer my namaskarams to you, Namo Namaha, as Arjuna said actually to Sri Krishna. So he says, my repeated namaskarams to you. Te means Guru here. So here the Sishya is addressing the teacher. You, my Guru, Te. Then where the Guru should be? The Guru should be in front of him. Then he should be seeing the Guru also. Whereas in the previous shloka, what did he say? Kinchit atra na pashyami. That's what he said. I don't see anything. So how is it possible for the Sishya now to say, I now see you, I want to offer my namaskarams to you? Because he should be in front of him now. So from this it is very clear that what? That kinchit na pashyami is only a figurative expression. He should not be taken literally. Therefore, he continues to see the Guru and addresses him as Te Gurave Namaha. Then he talks about the glories of the Acharya. What are the glories of the Acharya, he says? First, he says, you are my Guru. Means what? There are many meanings that could be given for the word Guru. Two are most relevant. It is derived from, we have seen some of this earlier. It is derived from the root గృ గృ మీన్స్ టు టీచ్. గృణాతి ఆత్మతత్వం ఉపదిశతి ఇది గురు, ద వన్ హూ కమ్యూనికేట్స్ ది శాస్త్ర అండ్ రివీల్స్ వాట్ ఆత్మతత్వం. అండ్ దిస్ టీచింగ్ ఈజ్ ఫిగరేటివ్లీ సెడ్ యాజ్ లైటింగ్ ద ల్యాంప్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ది స్టూడెంట్. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధేహే పుల్లార విందాయత పత్రనేత్ర ఏనత్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ ది ధ్యాన శ్లోకాస్ ఇట్ దట్స్ వాట్ వాజ్ సెడ్. ఎవ్రీ టీచర్ ఈజ్ సపోజ్ టు లైట్ ద ల్యాంప్ ఆఫ్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఇన్ ద డార్క్ మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద స్టూడెంట్స్. Therefore, teaching is compared to enlightening or lighting the lamp of knowledge. And therefore, a second definition is given to the Guru here. Gu means darkness, andhakaraha, and Ru means destroyer. Therefore, Guru means the destroyer of the darkness of ignorance. So, gukarastu andhakarovai and rukarastan nivartakaha andhakara nivartakatvate Guru iti abhidhiyate. That is how it is defined. And how does he light the lamp of knowledge? Through the verbal teaching, he lights the lamp in the heart of the student to remove his internal darkness. So the Shishya says, my heart is enlightened. Not only it is enlightened, it is lightened also. Lightened means what? It is free from sorrow. Mahatmane, how did you give this teaching to me? Not with any contract, not with a fee. Or something like that, for example, the 4 credits and 5 credit courses that we have in colleges. Just without any expectation, without any acknowledgement, that is how he would. So, ahetuka daya sindhu, that is what Acharya himself defined about the Guru earlier. We saw in Viveka Chudamani itself. So, you just gave this knowledge. Just as how the sunlight, sun gives the light to everybody regardless of any expectation from anyone. He gives light without expecting any acknowledgement whatsoever. We are supposed to acknowledge the gift of the sun. Therefore, Prataha, Sandhya, Vandanam, Surya Namaskara, all those things we do because that is our responsibility. The sun god never expects anything from us. Actually, in Western cultures, there is a tradition that whenever you receive any form of help from anyone, you say thank you or send a note or a gift or something like that. In that manner, how much thanks we have to give to sun god. But even if I don't offer my gratitude, the sun gives light. Similarly, the guru also gives the wisdom without expecting anything. And therefore, his heart must be what? Should be the embodiment of compassion, embodiment of generosity. So he is a Mahatma. Mahatma means the large-hearted one. Atma here means antakaranam hridayam. So a large heart. Mahatma means the one who has got the largest heart. Not an enlarged heart, but the largest heart. And vimukta sangaya. And why he could do that? Because he has no attachment to anything. So vimukta sangaya. And saduttamaya, the greatest among the purushas, noble people. Here Sat means Sat Purushaha. In the north they say a Sant, you know, Sat Purushaha, they call him a Sant. Same as Sat here. And Uttamaha, Uttamaha means Utkrishta Purushaha. And Nitya Advaitam Ananda Anandarasas Swarupine. You are of the nature of the eternal and infinite Ananda Anandarasa, the juice, Ananda syrup, Ananda nectar. Which is to indicate that it is not an experiential ananda. As we have often said, experiential ananda is what? Is never eternal. Even if it is produced in nirvikalpaka samadhi, we have seen this earlier, samadhi ananda also is not eternal because it is produced at the time of samadhi only. Therefore, that also comes under what? Kosha ananda, pratibimba ananda. Then original Brahmananda, how do we experience? We never experience it because it is I, the experiencer, the very subject. So such Brahmananda Swarupam you are. And Bhumne, who are the infinite. The word Bhumne, actually it is derived from the word Bhuma. We already saw this word also in one of the earlier webinars. This is from the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. The Bhuma refers there as Brahman. So in the previous shloka, The student had remembered Chandogya Upanishad, so we saw that quotation there. So he continues that expression, Bhuma. Bhuma is Brahman. Bhumne. Bhumne is here actually the fourth case, Chaturthi Vipakti. Bhuma is Nakarantaha Pullingaha Bhuman Sabdaha Chaturthi Ekavachanam. So we should not say Bhuma, Bhume, Bhumaha, but we should say Bhuma, Bhumanau, Bhumanaha, Bhumanam, Bhumanau, Bhumnaha, Bhumna, Bhumabhyam, and Bhumabhihi, and Bhumne, Bhumabhyam, Bhumabhyaha. So it is Bhumne, Chaturthi, because we are offering prostration, namaskarams to my Guru. And Sada Aparataya Ambudhamne. Ambudhamna, Ambudhamna means ocean. Dhamna, Dhamna means a reservoir, Dhamma. And Ambu means water. So Ambudhamma means the reservoir of water, or which is a ocean. And Guru is ocean of what? Daya Ambudhamne, the ocean of Daya or compassion. Shankaracharya, he says in Meenakshi Pancharatnam, Meenakshim Pranatosmi Santatamaham Karunyavaram Nidhim. Karunyavaram Nidhim. Kripa Sagarim. Mata Kripa Sagari. So they are all very, very common in religious literature where the Lord is addressed as the ocean of compassion. Therefore, you are Daya Sagaraha. And what type of ocean it is? Apara Daya Sagaraha. Ocean which is shoreless. You are the shoreless, infinite ocean of compassion. And that is why you choose to teach even a Sishya like me. And so I offer to you an extra namaskaram. Sada. Sada means always. Ever full. What is the idea? Even if he expresses compassion and gives knowledge and ananda, because he is an ocean, his own knowledge does not get depleted because of giving. It is not something like, you know, giving a dhanam. After, you know, when people normally when they retire, they are very calculative when they give dhanam. Because people normally even adopt rations. Since possession can decrease with less or no income after retirement. But for the guru, the problem is not there. By giving ananda, it does not get depleted for the guru. So by giving knowledge does not become less. On the other hand, the guru will get more and more clarity when he teaches. To that guru, my namaskaram. Shloka 487. Yat kataksha sasi sandra chandrikam pata dhuta bhavata pajashramaha prapta vanaha makanda vaibhava anandam atma padam akshayam kshanat. The student now is becoming highly poetic because of knowledge perhaps. He compares himself to a traveler walking under a very hot sun, a very sunny day. Road is very hot, all over it is hot, very weary and tired. And then it is also a Purnami in the night. Then even though he suffered too much because of the hot sun during the day, during the night when the moon comes, in poetical language, you know, they describe the rays of the moon as cooling rays. This is a poetic expression. So the rays of the sun are hot, whereas the rays of the moon are, you know, like Chandra Rashmi, is supposed to be very, very cool to the body. So when the full moon rays, they fall on me, who is already very tired because of the hot rays of the sun, my weariness is completely gone and I feel totally relieved. This is the imaginary comparison here. And here the student who has become a jnani, he feels that he has traveled in the light scorched by the heat of the threefold sorrows, tapatraya. The student is a traveler here. And hotness is what? The trivida tapas, the three different types of tapas. Actually, there's a double meaning here. One is the literal heat of the sun, tapa. And second is the mental tapam or manas tapam. That is the worry caused by the adhyatmika, adhibhaudika and adhidaivika tapas. And because of that, my mind is scorched. We have discussed all these things earlier. So I am not describing those terms. It has been a long day. Several janmas I have been going through. The Guru's arrival is the arrival of the Purna Chandra. And his wisdom is compared to the cool rays of the moon. And such rays, they fall on me. And because of the cooling effect, all my tiredness, all my weariness, caused by the long journey of several janmas. And the tiredness of the life's journey is always indicated when you ask the question, how are you? No one happily says wonderful. They say, chalta hai, edo irken, I am hanging on in this language here. Indicates all what? I am tired of life's journey. I don't mind if Yamadharmaraja comes a bit early perhaps. So that is the status of many people. So this is the condition of every traveler. But the student here, what he says, he refers to himself, he is free from that weariness. And that is what is said here. Yat Kataksha Shashi Chandra Chandrikam Patha Duta Bhavatapaja Shramaha. It is one word actually, the entire thing is one samasa. So it's one word which describes the student. The student refers to himself. What type of student I am? Duta Bhava Tapaja Shramaha. Shramaha means the tiredness or the weariness caused by what? Bhava Tapa. Bhava Tapaja. So Bhava Tapa means the samsara dukkham. Bhava. Bhava means samsara. Tapa refers to all sorrow, pain, whatever it is. So in the form of adhyatmika, adhibaudhika and adhidevika dukkham. And all that shrama, that tiredness is dutam. Dutam means eliminated, removed. I am one whose weariness caused by samsaric agony and heat of suffering has been removed. By what? Patha. Patha means by the fall or the shower of the cool shower of the jalapatam. Jalapatam means water shower. Here the shower of Sandra Chandrika, the concentrated moonlight. Shashi. Shashi means moon. Chandrika, the rays, the concentrated moonlight has bathed me. And because of that, all my weariness has gone. And what is the cool ray? Kataksha, which is in the form of your glance. He is addressing the Guru. It is in the form of your glance, compassionate glance, which indicates the teaching. Because by mere seeing, the student is not going to get any benefit. Because people say, Mauna Vyakhya, you know, in Dakshinamurti Stotram, Mauna Vyakhya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. So that Mauna Vyakhya, the Guru did not utter anything. My doubts are all cleared. How do you know that you have understood correctly, or have you your own misunderstanding? You don't know if there is Maunam. So Maunam can never teach anything. It is only a figurative expression. And Mudra, Mudra is gesture. Chinmudra. Chinmudra means it also cannot teach anything. Swamiji, you know, he says, Chinmudra is like, you know, in India, people use the snuff. Chinmudra is, Swamiji says, like a snuff mudra. So people will interpret anything according to one's own ignorance and misconception. So Dayananda Swami, he repeatedly says, one maunam can be interpreted as ignorance or disinterestedness or inexplicability, all those things. Maunam can explain any of them. So remember, maunam cannot convey anything. Often it may convey the wrong thing. Because of our misconception, we attribute it to the Mauni Guru. The Guru, you know, he observed silence. Maybe this is what he communicated. Therefore, let us be very clear that maunam, glance, touch, whatever it is, that cannot give any knowledge. So, knowledge can be given only by consistent and systematic teaching alone. As we have said many times, if glance or maunam or touch can give wisdom, Lord Krishna would have adopted that very easy method in the battlefield, because that will be very convenient also. Because in the battlefield there is so much of crowd on the soldiers of both the armies, they are all right there in between. So you are standing right in the middle of the war. So many people are seeing you. So it would be very easy for Krishna to teach him that way. The very fact that Krishna did not use any of those methods, that indicates that they are only figurative. So we call it Arthavada only, to show the glory of the Guru. For example, when we say that someone, you know, he did the entire thing single-handedly, this is a very common expression. It does not mean that he tied one of his hands and did everything by only one hand. Single-handedly is only an expression. Similarly, glance or maunam or touch gives wisdom. They are all only expressions to convey the teaching. Therefore, here kataksham refers to teaching. It is not a straight teaching, but consistent, step-by-step teaching. As was done earlier in Vivekananda Chudamani itself, the Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, gradually, step-by-step. So step-by-step communication, that is called here as kataksha. And by that kataksha, that is compared to the cool rays of the moon, I was bathed. And the weariness caused by the samsaric journey, the journey of samsara, that is gone. And therefore, praptavan aham, I have attained what? Akhanda vaibhava ananda atma padam. Atma padam means the goal of atma. Padam, padam refers to destination. And what is the ultimate destination? Atma. Atma refers to myself here. Therefore, after a long, weary journey over several janmas, I have fallen back to myself. Therefore, coming back to myself is called moksha. I was straying all around without knowing my nature. Now, because of the grace of the Guru, I have now come back to myself. That is called moksha. So, atma padam. And what type of Atmapadam it is? Akhanda Vaibhava Atmapadam, which is of infinite glory, Vaibhavam. Vaibhava means Mahima or glory. And Akhanda Vaibhava, Akhanda Vaibhava means is undivided. It is indivisible, infinite glory. And Ananda, of the nature of Ananda. So I have attained the destination of Atma, which has infinite glory and which is of the nature of Ananda. And how much time it took for me? Student says, kshanat. Because reaching Atma is knowing Atma. In all other cases, knowing is never reaching. Knowing is one thing, thereafter I have to reach with lot of effort. For example, knowing Gangotri is not reaching Gangotri. Because Gangotri is away from me, and so knowing should be followed by effort. I have to travel. I have to put a lot of effort. Whereas in the case of Brahman, Brahman is not away from me. It is myself. And therefore, knowing Brahman is an end in itself. After knowing, I need not do anything. Knowing is reaching Brahman. Brahmavit apnoti param. That is why the student says, kshanat. Kshanati means janmam, janam, jnana matrena brahma praptihi. That's what we just now said, brahmavit apnoti param. Jnana matrena brahma praptihi. So, yaha brahma vedam brahmaiva bhavati. So, these are all, again, expressions we have seen earlier also. Continuing with sloka 488. Danyoham krita krityoham vimuktoham bhavagrahatem nityananda swarupoham purnoham tvadanugrahate. Again, you know, the more the student thinks and compares himself with his previous I, what he was earlier, how I was before, and how I am now after a long ordeal. For example, the more you think, you feel very blessed now. So he says, danyoham. Indeed, I am the most fortunate student, the richest person in the world. Danyaha means dhanavan. Dhanam means dhanavan. Dhanam asya asti. So that is the one, he is the richest person who is associated with dhanam. So that is danyaha. And here, the fortune is not in the form of physical wealth. It is not a lot of money, this, that and all, possessions. But fortune in the form of inner wealth of knowledge, wisdom, vidyadhanam. Vidyadhanam sarvadhanat pradhanam. With that vidyadhanam, I am rich. So I am fortunate. Kritakrityoham. Therefore, I am utterly fulfilled. I no more feel incomplete. I have no more desire born out of incompleteness. Apurnatva. So if I do any action, it is born out of what? It is born out of fullness now. It is not for the sake of fullness, it is born out of fullness. So, kritakrityaha. Kritakrityaha means purna triptaha. And vimuktoham, I am totally free from that inner pressure for the rat race of this life, rat race of pravritti, nivritti, which is indicated by stress, anxiety, worry, all of them. So, freedom from this rat race, that is called vimuktihi. So, vimuktaha, aham vimuktoham. From what? Bhava grahat. From the crocodile of samsara. Graha means the crocodile. In fact, Shankaracharya's story, Shankara, you know, he was caught by a crocodile. Many people interpret that it is not literal, but symbolic of the samsara crocodile. So, bhavagrahat aham vimuktaha. And Nityananda Swarupoham. Therefore, only I am of the nature of ananda or fullness, which is ever there, Nityananda. Because this ananda is born out of wisdom. And as long as wisdom lasts, wisdom-based ananda also will last. And Purnoham, again we can understand these terms, I am full and complete, lacking or wanting or missing nothing in life. I don't lack anything. Aham Purnaha Asmi. So when the student talked so much about his own glory, I am Danyaha, Krita Krityaha, Vimuktaha, all those things, the student is worried whether it could be interpreted as arrogance, whether he will get arrogance because of this. It won't, because it is a fact only he is stating. Still he is afraid. So he adds an expression, I have all these because of what? Because of your grace alone, O Guru. Tvad anugrahat. Therefore, whatever glory I have, I listed all the glories. Whatever glory I have listed, they are all because of your grace. Tvad anugrahat. If you ask the Guru what he will say, I did not give anything, I got it from my Guru. And originally it will be given to by whom? If you go on tracing the Guru Parampara, ultimately it will go to the Lord. Sadashiva Samarambam, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, Asmad Acharya Pariyantam, Vande Guru Paramparam. So Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Every Guru was a Shrotri. He learned from his Guru. Who learned from his Guru? So I have come in that Parampara. Shloka 489. Asangohamanangoham. Alingohamabanguraham prashantohamanantoham amaloham chirantanaham. So from the teaching, I have come to my nature now because of your teaching. I am asangaha, without any sangha or relationship. These terms are all familiar to us now. I am not related to anyone. Why? Because I am of the nature of consciousness, which is paramarthika satyam. And everything else, right from maya onwards, what all they? They are all vyavaharika satyam only. And how can two things means these two things, how can these two things be same? How can two things of two orders of reality? We have seen this also, the orders of reality earlier. How can ever they be related? And therefore, I am asangaha. And we should remember that throughout these shlokas, the meaning of the word I, that is not vachyartha. Again, we should be clear. If we take vachyartha means the literal meaning. All these shlokas, they will look diagonally opposite. Because all the time, I am talking about relatives. And most of the time worried about the relatives only. When suddenly I say, I have no relationship at all, asangaha, it will look very incongruous. Therefore, we should remember, these shlokas are meaningful only if I remember the lakshyartha, not the vachyartha, the lakshyartha of the word I. So, asangaha. Then, asangaha aham, anga means actually anangaha aham. Anangaha is the next term. Anangaha, anga means the sthula sharira. Anangaha means the sthula sharira rahitaha, without the sthula sharira, the grass body. So one of the words used by actually for Manmatha is anangaha. Because Manmatha's physical body was burned down by Lord Shiva. So he had no physical body. Similarly, I am sthula sharira rahitaha. And what about my sukshma shariram, my subtle body? Alingoham, linga refers to the sukshma shariram. I am free from sukshma shariram also, and therefore only I am abanguraha, I am nasharahitaha, bangarahitaha, because destruction either belongs to the sthula shariram or sukshma shariram. I am free from both, so I am immortal. Prashantaha aham, Because of that, I am totally shantaha, free from all disturbances. Because all disturbances belong to what? Belong to the sthula shariram and the sukshma shariram only. And again, we should be careful. When we say prashantaha, it does not mean jnani has a thoughtless mind. This we have mentioned many times. I choose to mention many times because these are all basic reasons for a lot of confusion. We don't say the mind is shantaka here. Mind may be with thoughts or without thoughts. I am talking about myself, the Atma. I am not talking about the mind. Therefore, jnani is not going to identify with either thoughtful or thoughtless mind, thoughtless conditions of the mind. As long as I crave for thoughtless state, it indicates that my ignorance continues. Because that craving is because of my identification with my mind. If I am not the mind, why should I bother about the presence and absence of thoughts in the mind? Therefore, my shanti is not because of the conditions of the mind, but in spite of them. So, I am nitya prashantaha. And aham anantaha. Anantaha means limitless, without any spatial or time-wise limitation. And aham amalaha. I am free from all malaha impurities. I am amalaha means free from all impurities. And even I am free from maya. Often maya is presented as my shakti, the power to create. But we should remember the shakti, the maya, is not my intrinsic nature. It is vyavaharikam only. In fact, among the philosophers, there is a very, very big debate. In Saiva Siddhanta, they debate, many of similar Siddhantas, whether the Lord's power to create is as real as God or less real. They all claim if God or Brahman is real, his power to create also must be equally real. But in Vedanta, we never accept that. If the power to create is also real, then the creation also will be real. Then the problem of the creation also will be real. Then samsara also will be real if you deduce it from that argument. Therefore, the creative power of God is less real than the God himself. The less real and more real and all we have understood earlier. We understood the different orders of reality, and this is that. Therefore, maya is vyavaharikam only. Srishti, sthiti, laya, shakti is all vyavaharikam. Icha jnana kriya shakti is vyavaharikam. Only chaitanyam alone is paramarthikam. Therefore, I am not even tainted by maya. Therefore, amaloham. And chirantanaha, I am eternal. I am not bound by time factor also. Shloka 490. Akartaham abhoktaham. Avikarohamakriyaham, Shuddhabodhaswarupoham, Kevaloham Sadashivaham. So all these words, aham akartasmi, I am free from all karmas, I have no karma sambandha, and therefore only abhoktaha aham, I don't have karma pala sambandha also, because I have no karma pala also, and therefore only all these things. So, and karma pala is that is divided into the sanchita karma, agami karma, prarabdha karmas. We know all these. Therefore, abhokta means I am karma traya sambandha rahitaha. I am without any association with the three types of karmas. I don't have any of these three karmas at all. Therefore, the idea of exhausting prarabdha is also because of ahankara abhimana. I don't have to worry about exhausting prarabdha. Because it is associated with ahankara. A jnani has fully understood Vedanta. He should not be concerned about even the exhaustion of prarabdha. Because prarabdha does not belong to me for exhausting. Therefore, I am abhokta. And therefore only, aham avikaraha. I am free from all modifications caused by kartrutvam, doership. And bhoktrutvam, the enjoyership. In the fag end of our life, we are extremely tired of our life. Because of what? Constant kartrutvam and constant bhoktrutvam. throughout the waking hours, we have to do things, we have to do duties, and there are miles and miles to go. Always that is my thinking. And while we are anxious about completing our duties, we get beatings from the world also in the form of prarabdha. That is punya papa janya dukkham, the sorrow arising out of punya papas. Therefore, by age 40 or 50, we are extremely tired. And now that our contact with the world has expanded, not only the immediate surroundings, all over the world, it can give me beatings. There was long ago an article in Reader's Digest, how to manage information overload, because constantly hitting all the time. Even if I go somewhere for relaxation, the cell phone rings, that brings information and thrashes. The advice this person gives in that article is, switch off the cell phone at least for an hour a day. They will invent the cell phone normally, and then they will talk about the constant onslaught of problems, and they will advise to switch off the phone at least for an hour. That is what we are doing. So constantly, over time, becoming karta and bhokta, I am completely deformed. I am tired. I am physically and mentally tired. But as atma, I am avikaraha. I don't have karma palam. And the vikaras are modifications. Born out of them, then aham akriyaha. I am free from all types of karma, which is the extension of akarta. We have seen earlier, the same thing, akriya, same thing. So, in fact, the chronological order in this shloka should be avikaraha, then akarta, then akriyaha, and abhokta. Avikaraha means without any change or modification. Therefore, only I cannot do any karma, akarta. And therefore, only I am free from the connections with the kriya, and therefore, abhokta. So, that is the order of understanding, because we have to rearrange them a little bit. So, if I am free from all these, then what is my nature? Shuddha bodha swarupaha aham. I am of the nature of pure chaitanyam. Shuddha bodha swarupaha. And kevaloham. I am without any second thing. There is no second chaitanyam also. Because there is only one all-pervading consciousness, chaitanyam. Not only that, there is no second thing in the form of jada prapancha also. There is nothing else. So, no sajatiya bedaha, this we have seen earlier also. No sajatiya bedaha in the form of second chaitanyam. And no vijatiya bedaha in the form of matter. Because he has understood that there is no matter separate from consciousness. Consciousness in motion, that is called matter. As given in the Shanti Prakaranam in Mandukya Upanishad. And there is this particular thing is discussed in detail there. So anyway, we don't have to go through this thing here. So the consciousness is motion is called matter. That is adequate. And Sadashivaha, I am ever auspicious. Sadashivaha, Ananda Swarupaha, Mangala Swarupaha. I don't have Amangala Sambandha at all anytime. And now the next three shlokas, they are of an irregular meter, so we cannot recite it the way we normally recite it. So, Vishama Vrittam, we have already seen a similar Vrittam also earlier. So, we cannot chant it as a shloka, we will read it as prose. Drashtu Shrotuhu Vaktu Kartuhu Bhoktur Vibhinnaye Vaham Nitya Nirantara Nishkriya Nissima Asanga Purna Bodhatma. So aham vibhinnaha eva. I am totally distinct from what? Drashtuhu the seer. Sri Ahanka, seer ahankara. So I am now going to associate each one of the seer ahankara. I am seeing. So seer ahankara, drashtuhu, shrotuhu, the hearer ahankara, vaktuhu, the speaker ahankara, and kartuhu, the doer ahankara. And bhoktuhu, the enjoyer ahankara, because seer, hearer, enjoyer, they are all the statuses of the abhimana, or the identification with a relevant instrument, whether it is a hearing instrument, seeing instrument, smelling instrument. Just as I am writer, only when I am associated with the writing instrument. Similarly, identified with the jnanendriyani, I become seer, hearer, etc., identified with the karmendriyani, I become speaker, walker, etc. So identified with mind, I become thinker, feeler, all those. So from my own standpoint, I have no relationship with any one of these things. Therefore, I am not the ahankara, the vachyartha. Vachyartha, again the little meaning, but I am the sakshi, the lakshyartha, the witness of the word I. That the lakshyartha of the word I is sakshi. And what is that I? Purna bodhatma. The entire second line actually is again one word. Purna bodha atma. I am the atma which is of the nature of infinite consciousness. Purna bodha. Which is asangaha. We have to move actually right from right to left from the shlokas to understand the order. So a relationship without any relation, asangaha. And nissima. Sima means borders. So nissima means without any border, without, it's limitless, shoreless. And nishkriya, actionless. Nirantara, without any gap between. So it is continuous, it is all pervading. And nityaha, it is eternal consciousness I am. Shloka 492. Nahamitam nahamadaha abhyubay apyubayo apyubayoho avabhasakam param shuddham bahyabhyantara shunyam purnam brahma advitiyamevaham. As I told, it should be read as a prose only. So aham na idam, aham na adaha. Idam means, normally idam means, you know, we refer to it as the intimate object, the one that is closer to me. There is a pratyaksha vishaya. And not only the immediate surrounding object, the physical body also is idam. Not the surrounding ones, but also my own body, this body is also idam. So it is an object of my own experience. That is why Krishna said in the 13th chapter, idam shariram kaunteya kshetramitya vidhiyate idam shariram, this body. Therefore, body is idam, mind is idam, intellect is idam. So, every thought is idam. Objects of my intimate experiences, they are all idam. And adaha, adaha is any remote object of experience, anything that is far away. And by that we mean what? Beyond the range of my sense organs. Far away, beyond the reach of my sense organs. Paroksha vishayaha. Anything beyond the range of my organs is called paroksha. And if these objects are beyond the range of my sense organs, how do I know they exist? They are known through inference. These are all, again, other terms in Vedantas. Some I have introduced that earlier, but just only to refresh. Through inference or arthapatti, and there are so many other pramanas also. Through them I know. So we are learning, knowing many events happening all over the world which are not within my range of my sense organs. But I read them through newspapers, I hear them in the TV, I watch in the news, all that. So they are all called adaha. So what about swargadi lokas? I have not seen them, swargadi lokas. I am not getting any newspaper from item about swarga loka. Again, adaha only. So pratyaksha vastu is idam, paroksha vastu is adaha. And here the student says, I am neither pratyaksham nor paroksham. Then who am I? I am ubayoho avabhasakam. I am ubayoho avabhasakam means I am the illuminator of the pratyaksha paroksha vastu both. Then how am I illumined or known? Fortunately, I need not know myself to prove my existence. I am the self-evident consciousness. Therefore, I am Nitya Aparoksha Rupaha. So, Pratyaksha Vastus and Paroksha Vastus, they are evident through effort. I have to hear, I have to see. If I cannot see, I have to put a glass and see. I need effort. But I, the consciousness alone, am evident without any effort. Therefore, I am called Aparoksha Atma. That is why we repeatedly say, never work for Atma Jnanam. Working for Atma Jnanam is the most ridiculous thing to do, because Atma is the only one thing which is evident, and because of which everything else we come to know. Then if we need not work for that, then what is Atma Jnanam at all? Because we are not working for that. If at all we have to work for Atma Jnanam, it should be understood as removing the misconceptions, regarding the ever evident Atma. That is the effort. The effort to remove all the misconceptions. So we define Atma Jnanam not as knowing a new thing, we define it as removing the misconceptions regarding the ever evident I, the consciousness, the subject. So Adhyasa Nishedaha, that is called Atma Jnanam. I already also introduced this word Adhyasa to earlier. Actually in Brahmasutra Bhashya, Acharya gives the Adhyasa Bhashya very elaborately in the beginning. So this is very, very important topic there, but we just know, just a superimposition. So no new thing is known or experienced in Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam. Why? Both are same. Atma Jnanam and Brahma Jnanam are both are same. Only certain misconceptions are only removed through this Jnanam, the process. Therefore, I am the ever evident Avabhasakam. Avabhasakam means the illuminator of Pratyaksha Paroksha Prapancha, the entire world, universe. And Param Shuddham, I am supremely pure, very pure, because the illuminator is not tainted by the illumined object. For example, the illuminator sunlight is not polluted by the illumined earth. However impure the earth is, however dirty the earth may be, the sunlight is not polluted by that. Therefore, Paroksha Prapancha has impurities. Pratyaksha Prapancha, like body, mind, they have impurities. But I, the Atma, the illuminator, have no impurities. That is why, na punyam, na papam, na saukhyam, na dukkham. All this we saw. Na me dvesha ragav, na me lobha mohav. Acharya said all those things very clearly in Nirvana Shatkam. We have seen this slokas earlier. Because raga, dvesha, etc. are impurities, not belonging to the aparoksha Atma. But they belong to the pratyaksha manaha, mind only. Therefore, Param Shuddham. And Bahya Abhyantara Shunyam. I am without a second thing, within or without. There is no second thing outside of me. And there is nothing second thing inside of me also. Which means what? It is the Advitiyam. Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Beda Rahitaha Aham. So, Bahya Abhyantara Shunyam. All these terms, Sajatiya, Vijatiya and Swagata, Bedarahita, all those terms we should be very familiar by now. And Purnam Brahma. Purnam Brahma means I am Brahman, ever full and complete, not lacking anything. Advitiyam eva aham. Advitiyam eva aham. I am without a second thing, secondless, non-dual Brahman I am. Shloka 493. Nirupamanadi tattvam, nirupamamanadi tattvam, tvamahamidamada iti kalpanadhuram, nityanandaikarasam satyam, brahmadvitiyamevaham. Again, these are shlokas meant for nididhyasana, nididhyasana shlokas. Just, you know, I repeat those words and see the meaning of them so all the time. Most importantly, I should see them as referring to me. That is the main object of Nididhyasanam. I should not read them as about some other object. I should read them as they are of me. With that bhava, I have to repeat these words. So, Nirupamam Anadi Tattvam. I am Nirupamaha. Nirupamaha, Upama means comparison. So, Nirupamaha means incomparable or matchless. Because everything I experience is inert. And I am the only conscious principle. Remember, whatever I am looking is inert. I am not seeing the Chaitanyam in you. I am looking only at your body, the body part of you. The body is inert. Similarly, you also look at my body part and not my Chaitanyam. All bodies are jadam. Whatever is seen is jadam. The seer consciousness is never seen by anyone. Therefore, seer is ever matchless. Because seer is the only conscious principle. So, Nirupamaha. And Anadi Tattvam, I am the only reality which is beginningless. Because if I say, I am Anadi only, Maya also is Anadi. We have learned many times, Maya is also Anadi. So, if I am Anadi, Maya also is Anadi. What is any difference? So, the student is very particular. So, he says, Anadi Tattvam, beginningless reality. Maya is Anadi Mithya. Whereas I am anadi tattvam. Tattvam is reality. Maya is mithya. Therefore, I am not bothered about eternal maya coexisting with eternal Brahman. We have told many times, the entire srishti came about because of the Brahman maya couple. So, I am not bothered about the eternal maya coexisting with eternal Brahman because I am not interested in destroying maya also. I cannot destroy also. I need not destroy maya also. That is a peculiarity. I cannot destroy it. I am not interested in destroying it. I cannot destroy also. I need not also. Because by the continuity of the mithya maya, satyam brahma is not going to be affected at all. And not only that, if maya goes away, then the wonderful drama of the world will also go away. I am enjoying so much of things happening all around me. So let maya continue eternally. But what I want to remember is, whatever happens in maya, it is not going to affect me. It is not going to touch me. I will be untainted. I have this awareness. So, destruction of maya is seeing the maya as mithya. These are all figurative expressions. Destruction is not of maya is not physical destruction, but seeing the maya as mithya. So, no other destruction is possible or no other destruction is needed also. So, it is like, for example, a movie. It's a tragic movie or comic movie. And so, I look at my biography as a movie, my own biography as a movie, from the standpoint of my real nature. So, from the standpoint of Chaitanyam, my real nature, I look at my own biography as a movie. So, anadi tattvam. I am. So, that is what I am. Whereas, maya is anadi mithya or anadi atattvam. Tattvam atattvam. Tvam aham idam adaha iti kalpana duram. I am far away, duram, from all divisions. Kalpana. Kalpana means division here. Like what? Tvam aham, you and me, idam adaha, this and there. So, there is first person, second person, and two types of third person. First person is what? First person is only one, that is I. And the second person is only one, you, tvam. And the third person can be of two types. One is this, idam. The third person is near, and another is that what? Third person is far away. So, the one that is nearer and that is one far away. Idam, adaha. All these divisions are not in me. Aham, tvam, idam, adaha. These divisions are not there in me at all. They are far away, duram. Then, nitya, anandaika, rasam. Since I and you are gone, there is no I, there is no you, there is no quarrel and fights and misunderstandings arising from any of these relationships also. They are all gone. Therefore, nitya ananda eka rasam. I am of the nature of eternal ananda, which is unmixed with sorrow. Eka rasam, homogeneous mass of ananda, without the mixture of sorrow, unalloyed happiness. Satyam Brahma. In the previous sloka, he said Purnam Brahma. Here he is telling Satyam Brahma. Brahman, which is the reality. Satyam. Advitiyam evaham, which is non-dual. Advitiyam. Shloka 494. We can maybe do one more shloka. Narayanoham narakantakoham purantakoham purushoham ishaha akandabodoham ashesha shakshi nirishwaroham niraham cha nirmamaha. So if the whole world and the events of the whole world, if they are compared to, for example, a movie, then the question is, who are the actors in this movie? I am the actor. If the entire dream world is a movie, who is the actor? I, the waker alone, am every member in the dream world. Similarly, in this maya prapancha, in this maya world also, I am the only actor. I, the waker alone, and so all the roles must be played by me only. I am such an expert actor. What all roles I play? I become a miserable individual, a miserable jiva in the world struggling. So the jiva also I am. And I also play the role of Ishvara, the creator. Sayeva maya parimohitatma shariramastaya karoti sarvam. ஸ்திரியன்னபானாதி விசித்திர போகைஹி ச ஏவ ஜாக்ரத் பரித்ருப்தி மேதி. ஸோ ஐ புட் டர்த்தி வேஷா அண்ட் பிகம் அ ஜீவா அண்ட் ஐ மைசல் புட் ஆன் எ கிரேட் வேஷா ஆல்சோ அண்ட் பிளே த ரோல் ஆஃப் ஈஸ்வரா. Therefore, he says, I am Jeeva Rupena and Ishwar Rupena and Jagat Rupena cha for the movie. And who is this? What is the setting? Because it's a movie, means there should be settings. I myself am the setting in the dream. The inert objects are also myself only. So, the inert objects of the dream are also myself. So, I am everything. Aham Narayanaha. Actually, all other things are okay. But this is the one that disturbs many people, especially if they are used to the Ishwara Bhakti. For example, saying always, I am Dasaha, I am a lowly person, I am worthless, you are the great Lord. In many systems, the more you say that you are useless, you are considered a greater Bhakta. I am Dasa is one type of Bhakta. I am Dasa Dasaha is a greater Bhakta. I am Britya Britya Britya. So greatest Bhakta. So these are all in some types of systems. Therefore, Dvaita, Visishta, Dvaita, they are all, those philosophies, they are disturbed when I say, I am Narayana. They say Vedanta leads to arrogance and pride. We should be humble. And they say, humility is saying, I am Dasaha. Whereas Vedanta says, humility does not mean you have to tell the untruth. That is the difference. Vedanta believes truth is only one, I am the Chaitanyam, and humility does not mean telling, you have to tell the untruth. Telling the truth does not disturb one's humility. Vedanta says, I am Narayana is a fact. In claiming the fact, that is the question of arrogance. If I claim body or mind is Narayana or infinite, that is a mistake, and that could be arrogance. When I say, I the Chaitanyam am Narayana, it is not only a fact, we have to learn to claim that, if not today, at least someday, at least in some janma. We should become very, very comfortable in saying, Narayanaha aham asmi. And only when we can comfortably claim that, Vedanta study will be considered complete. So he says, Narayanoham, I am Narayanaha. I am Narakantakoham, Narakantakoham. I am Lord Krishna who killed Narakasura with a different Vesha, who is a Krishna Vesha. So I, the Sachidananda Atma plus Krishna Namarupa, that is Krishna. And I, the Sachidananda Atma with Vishnu Namarupa is Vishnu. And how many Sachidananda Atmas can be there? There can be only one. All others are all Namarupa. Therefore, I am with Vishnu Vesha, I am with Krishna Vesha. So, all the avatarams I have taken. Then, Purantoham, I am the Lord Shiva, who is the destroyer of the Tripura, the Tripura Rakshasas, who built the three cities, you know, the gold city, the silver city, and the iron city. In Puranas, the story is given that these are all not just big cities, they are flying cities also. Imagine, like a Skylab, you know, we have Skylab these days, flies. So, it is like a sky lab, it can move anywhere. Lord Shiva, he destroyed them. And there is a text actually called the Tripura Rahasyam. You know, where the whole story that is repeated in a philosophical manner. Three Puras, the three cities, they represent the Stula Sukshma Karana Shariras. And Puratrayam Kridati Yascha Jeevaha. Puram Trayam means what? The three Shariras. And the Rakshasas are nothing but Ahankara in the form of Vishwa, Taijasa and Pragya. This also we have seen in Tattva Bodha itself in detail. So Vishwa, Taijasa and Pragya, and destroying them is falsifying them by discovering the Turiya Avastha, the Turiyam, the Chaitanyam. So once I do that, I am Tripurari Shivaha also. That is why Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam. Then Purushoham, I am the Purushaha. Purushaha means the all-pervading one. Purayati Sarvam iti Purushaha. And Aham Ishaha, I am the Lord of the entire universe. And the student is now worried. What is this Aham? Is it Mr. So-and-so or somebody else? So with the date of birth? So he says, Akhanda Bodoham. I, as consciousness alone, can claim all these glories. I am the undivided consciousness, Ashesha Sakshi. I am the witness of everything. How can I be, if anybody has to doubt, I am witnessing all the things around here. But what about the things happening far away, maybe in some other continent? We should remember, I means the consciousness. If there is a place called, for example, New Jersey, Princeton, there is a person experiencing the New Jersey, the Princeton. Remember, I, the consciousness alone, through that mind, I am witnessing that object. But if you say, I don't know that, you are again referring to what? To your mind. In the moment you say, I don't know that, that means you are referring to your mind. Because the Chaitanyam is supposed to be Sarvajnaha, all-pervading and Sarvajnaha. So your mind cannot register that experience, but because your mind is limited. But I, the consciousness, through different minds, I am experiencing different worlds. For example, through Indra, I witness maybe the dance program of Urvashi. Who knows in Swargaloka? Therefore, I am the consciousness experiencing all the 14 lokas through different sukshma shariras, different minds. Therefore, Ashesha Sakshi. And Nirishwaroham, I being the Lord of all, I don't have anyone who is my ruler. I don't have any other God to worship. So Nirishwaraha, I am the ultimate God. I don't have any other God to worship. Actually, there's one Acharya, he says, therefore I offer all my prostrations to myself. Because I have nobody to worship, I am offering all my namaskaras to myself. Aho aham, how great I am, he says. Namo mahyam, namaskarams to me. I am so great. I should be able to say, I offer all namaskarams to myself like that Acharya. Very difficult to understand this Advaita. That is why very few people, they appreciate Advaita. Therefore, Nirishwaroham. I will finish it in 1 minute. I am without a God because I am God. And Nirahancha Nirmamaha. I don't have ahankara, niraham, and nirmamaha, mamakara. That means what? Sharira traya abhimana, I don't have ahankara. Because I know they are all mithya. And I also know that abhimana is mithya, that makes my biography real. Then anxiety about life, that cannot be avoided. So I am sharira traya abhimana rahitaha. The one without the abhimana, association, identification, three bodies. And nirmamaha, I don't have prapancha abhimana also. In the world, no abhimana with the world. Identification or abhimana in the body is in the form of I. And identification in the world is always in the form of my. Mine, my. My children, my house, my belongings, my possession, my job. So everything outside is mamakara abhimana vishaya, whereas the three bodies are ahankara abhimana vishayas. That is why Krishna said actually in the 12th chapter, nirmamo nirahankaraha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha. So if I become nirmama and nirahankara, what will be the consequence? He says it very, very nicely, samadukkaha, samadukkha sukhaha kshami. Only when ahankara and mamakara go away, sukham and dukkham will not affect me. Therefore, niraham and nirmamaha. We'll stop with this today and continue with the next shloka in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Sri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.